Would you stand with me, open your Bibles to Psalm 100? Psalm 100. And I want to just share a couple of things with you today. This is a chapter of Thanksgiving. And I have been working on memorizing this chapter. I love to memorize Scripture. And the key to memorizing Scripture is you don't really memorize the Scripture word for word. That's a struggle. It's almost impossible to do that. How you memorize is you memorize what it says. That's the best way. Just like you memorize going to a person's house. At first, you know, make a left on Allen Road, make a right on Southfield. You start writing those down. But how many know after a while, you can drive that in your sleep? You may even forget the name of the roads, but you know how to get there. It's the same way with Scripture. So learning our Bible is how you memorize Scripture. Learning what the Scripture says. It's a powerful Scripture. I've learned to memorize it. So you may use different translations. I've challenged my family to have them memorize these five verses by Thanksgiving, greatest holiday of the year, which we're ready. How many are ready? How many are ready? How many ain't went shopping yet? Lord help us. Amen. Yes, amen. I'm halfway. Well, actually, no. So get your mind off of that for a moment. Focus in on this word because I want to share some things with you today. Not really about Thanksgiving, but something else here. So I'm going to try to quote this here. I've memorized out of the New King James. So make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands or all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. For we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Can I get an amen? Amen. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generation. I want to just speak to you for a couple of moments. In these five verses, I have found some keys to spiritual growth. So although it's traditionally we talk about Thanksgiving, man, God showed me some things that's going to help us to learn how to grow spiritually according to Psalm 100. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray your blessing upon our time, God, today and over our offering. God, over all the families today. What a beautiful time to be a part of and of your goodness and celebrate with these families and just be in the house of God today. Lord, no matter what anybody may be going through right now, Father, I pray that they would sense your presence and your call today, calling them home to be with you here, to start a new relationship with you, God, that would just change the trajectory of families even, God. Do that today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and give somebody a high five. Say happy Thanksgiving. You may be seated. I'm going to get right into this today. Again, it's not going to be with my time left. I just want to talk about keys to spiritual growth from Psalms 100. I'm going to jump right into it. So just as these babies today, we prayed over them, these babies are going to grow, right? They're going to grow physically. They're going to grow emotionally and spiritually as the three ways that we grow. And if you're a rural ranger, you learn the other five ways a boy grows, I think it is, or our points. And so the point is this, that we're going to grow. And most of the time, us parents, we focus on their physical growth. You know, are they growing? You know, how is their growth rate? I was actually the tallest kid in kindergarten and first grade. And then something crazy happened from second to ninth grade. It's like, I just stuck. And my mom and dad even got, you know, concerned, Eddie, and I'm bow-legged, and I'm strike two, amen. So I was like, God, what you doing? Amen. The only thing I had was that long, strawberry, blonde, curly hair. And God said, okay, I'll fix that. So, I mean, I don't know what God is going to do, but, you know, we trust in him. Amen. But my wife says I look handsome bald head, so I'm going to take it. Amen. Amen. So anyway, God, but we grow physically. We focus on that, and it's good that we pay attention to the growth of our kids physically, right, and get them healthy, work, you know, athletic in that. And then we also hear recently in the last 10, 15 years, we've been paying attention to emotional health. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Reading this book right now, it's so amazing. It's a very good book written and talked about the different generations, how we grew up, play-based childhood versus phone-based childhood, and it's creating so many anxieties and fears, and it's actually a really good book. So parents, if you're looking for a book, it's a secular book, I'll just tell you that, but it's called The Anxious Generation. Write that down. I recommend it for parents, grandparents. The Anxious Generation by Professor Haight. He does a great job in talking about how the anxieties and fears that we have today stem from two problems. One is, you know, not being able to have play kind of interaction and unsupervised internet action. And it's caused a lot of problems. A great book. You don't just hate on social media. He actually has some guidelines in there for parents to walk them through when to give cell phones and all this. It's a great read. So read it and it's going to bless you. But that's emotional health. It's a big deal today. We're aware of it. But here's the thing that a lot of people, especially in the secular world, they neglect is the spiritual growth. And that is the single most important part of our growth. Would you agree? Would you understand? Because it will determine, obviously, our eternity, right? Had that one mother came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to ask you for a favor. And Jesus said, what is it? And she says, when my two sons get to heaven, I want them to rule and reign with you. And Jesus told her, that's for our Heavenly Father, not for me. But I give it up for that mom for even thinking about the eternal destination of her children. And I think that is something that is neglected because it's so easy to just focus on those other two aspects of growth. But you need to know, you heard me say it all through the ceremony, that we are body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit, by the way, is really who we are. It's our character. It's our attitude. How many's ever met somebody that may look good physically and may seem to be stable emotionally, but got an attitude like you don't even want to be? Come on, amen. You know, just got a foul or evil, selfish kind of attitude. That's their spirit. Your spirit is where your fight comes from. Your spirit is where your character is. And I love what the scripture says, how Jesus grew in Luke chapter 2. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. That's your soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. That's our mind. So Jesus grew in his understanding, in his mind, wisdom. He grew in stature. He was a strong man. We know he was a strong physical man because he was a carpenter. And he made things with his earthly father, so he grew physically, but watch this, and in favor with God and men. That's your spirit, because how our spirit goes will determine the favor and presence of God in our life. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that having God's favor on our life is better than having money in the bank. How many would say amen to that? Because you can be a janitor, I say it all the time, you can be a janitor at a Fortune 500 business, a company, and just be the janitor. But if you got the favor of God on your life, you will be more blessed than the CEO, the executives up in the front office. Why? Because it's favor. Come on, somebody thank God for some favor today if you want it in your life. Favor on your life, where you walk in the favor of God. Jesus grew, so this tells me you can grow in the favor of God. David grew in the favor of God. You need to learn to focus on God. I want the favor. People say, man, Pastor Eddie, I love this church. You know, wow, and they, what God has done, and what's your secret? And we tell them, favor. Favor. It's the favor of God. How do you get the favor of God? Well, I believe Psalm 100 right here tells us a couple of things on how to get the favor of God and how to grow spiritually. Those other things are very important, absolutely, but I love what he says, and we're going to go right along here and move. Now, I can spend an hour on each one of these, but I'm not going to do it, so come back, amen, if you want to hear that rest of it, but this is kind of short. He starts off by saying, make a joyful shout, all the earth. He's given us a command. Shout to the Lord. Then he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Can I tell you, the very first thing that you and I must learn to grow spiritually is how to praise our God. You got to learn how to praise him. You got to learn how to praise Him. I will say this, if you really experience and taste and see that the Lord is good, it's going to be an automatic thing. I think our problem is we haven't tasted and seen enough of His goodness. Because before, when I used to taste and see of other things, nobody had to beg me to get high. Nobody had to beg me to party. Nobody had to beg me to do crazy things. I just wanted to do it because that's where my focus was. Same way when we find Jesus and we have an encounter with His presence. How many know those hands will automatically want to go up? You will actually want to fight to keep them down, because if you got the Spirit of God in you, He's going to want to worship God. We were created to worship God. Do you know that's one of the main purposes? And you go, wow, that sounds like, wow, what kind of God would create us just to worship? This is why He did it. Because in order to worship somebody or something, the thing that you're worshiping has got to be greater than you. And since there's nobody greater than God, God can't say, oh, praise to me. God said, I can't, because there's no one greater than God. So He made angels, and then He made us a little lower than the angels. And the best thing we can give our God is praise and thanksgiving for how good He is. You got to learn that. You got to learn it. So He says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Men, let me tell you something, don't save it for the football game. You're going to hear me screaming today when the Lions beat the Colts. I'm going to be, come on, Sonic and Knuckles are going to run for 100 yards. I'm going to be all in the game because I am, but don't get it twisted. Before I yell at 1 o'clock at this TV, I've been screaming all morning to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, because He deserves our highest praise. And you and I have got to have a place where we give ourselves permission to just express your love and gratitude. Now, if you want to do it at Target, you can. If you want to do it in Walmart, you may fit in. Because people like to yell at Walmart over all kind of stuff. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Walmart, anyway. The one by my house needs Jesus. And so, but the church is the place where we should give ourselves permission to shout. This is a holler back church. Y'all know this. What does that mean? That means you get blessed. You say, preach, preacher. You say, amen. You say something. Because when you say something, now you don't got to worship like I worship. This ain't Simon Says. You don't got to worship like the worship team. You ain't got to worship like Sister Melinda. You ain't got to worship like anybody else. But we are told to worship Him. This is the point number one. Praise is the pathway to spiritual maturity. You want to grow? If you don't learn to worship, I'm going to be real with you. You ain't going to grow. The older I get, I used to think, what makes a person spiritually mature? I used to think it's because how often they go to church, how much Bible knowledge they have, how much they give, and, you know, whatever it is. And I focus on them, and maybe you have too. Now, all those are benefits or attributes of spiritual growth. But you know what I've learned? What really marks the maturity level of a believer is our ability to worship. Let me say it like this: our ability to worship God when you don't see God. Our ability to worship God anyhow. Our ability to give Him praise when you're like Job and his own wife came to him and said, why don't you curse your God and die? Because God ain't done nothing for you and you've been serving Him all along. But Job looked at his wife and said, what? You sound like a foolish woman. Though He slay me, come on, though He slay me, yet will I worship Him. That's how Paul and Silas was put in jail for preaching the gospel. And the Bible says they were in the inner prison. They were at midnight, the darkest hour. It was the darkest hour of their life when it didn't seem like they were going to get out. But these two people didn't have a pity party. These two people didn't say, why has God abandoned me? Paul looked at his party, Silas, and said, hey, you know what we need to do? Silas said, I'm already on it, brother. And they begin to sing. They begin to lift their voice. Come on. It's not just a Bible story. It's how you will overcome the struggles and problems in your life. Not just getting, you know, it's not just something to preach about, it's something to live about. Coming out of drugs and alcohol and the legal system is what I did 27 years ago. What's carried me through is my ability to be able to worship God. I love what the Message Bible says about this. The Message Bible says this. Oh, I love it. It's so good. Sing yourself into his presence. I'm going to take this jacket off. Come on, help me, Jesus. Sing yourself into his presence. This is what David did when he was by himself. You don't feel God? That ain't the, so what? You sing yourself into his presence. Oh, help me, Jesus. You got to learn this. Tell your neighbor, you got to learn this. You got to learn to worship. You got to learn to lift those hands. And that's a posture of surrender. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Only five verses. This is verse 2. You're all right. Everybody all right? Worship is the pathway to maturity. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with resentment. Serve the Lord with bitterness. Oh, man, asking me to do this now. I guess I got to serve again this week. I got to, you know. No. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. That's not serving out of duty, but out of desire. That marks the level of maturity that we have in our life. Jesus was 12 years old, and the Bible says that his mom and dad lost him. Remember that story on the way back? It's a long story why that happened. They weren't neglecting him. It's a big company, a family. Anyway, they went and they found him. And your Bible says, where was he? He was in the temple. He was talking with the Pharisees and the leaders and the elders. And mom and dad walked in and saw their 12-year-old boy having these deep conversations about theology. And they said, Jesus, what you doing? And Jesus looked at him and said, Mom and Dad, don't you know that I should be about my Father's business? He already knew at 12 years old that I was put on this planet to serve the Lord. So we may be truck drivers. You may be, you know, mechanics. You may be, you know, doctors, nurses, police officers. And we have them all here. And you got different talents and different jobs. But number one, whatever we do, the Bible says, whatever we find our hands to do, serve the Lord with gladness. Give him glory. Carry Christ with you on the job. Carry Christ with you into the arena that God has put you in. Serve the Lord with gladness. Why? Because serving is how others see Jesus. Serving. They don't really see Jesus and then I go to church or yeah, I know my Bible. Okay, I hear you. It's when we show them. Serving is how we do it. Our mission statement here at our church, our motto, what we've been driving, and God gave me this 11 years ago when I became pastor in our church. God has just planted this, mom and dad planted this church in the fires of revival. And this has always been God's church of his presence. And the Lord put this in my heart. He said, if you would do this, he said, I'm gonna bless this ministry. And he has, and these five sentences, our motto is to be the church. It's not to attend, but to be the church. You guys know this. So we say this, we are the church. We got it written all in the building. We are the church. We're called to represent Christ and influence others. We are called to make a difference. We're called to love God and serve people. Why? Because we are the church. I mean, those five sentences, amen. That's who we are. We are called to be the church. That's how you grow. We grow by serving. By serving, hallelujah. Verse 3, let's move on. Then he says, know that the Lord, he is God. So you got to learn to praise him. You got to learn to shout, to express yourself and be okay with that. You shout for everything else. You can give him praise. You can shout unto him. You can, you know, lift your voice and shout unto God. Serve him with gladness. Serve him with the right attitude. And sometimes I got to pray because sometimes I don't have the right attitude. I got to preach again. Didn't I just preach last week? I just did a series. Isn't that good enough, God? They can live off that for 6 months, can't they? I got to go meet with this person again. We got to do this counseling. Got to do this mentoring. How long I got to mentor these people? How long I got to do this? I mean, we all can complain and murmur when God calls us to do something. But I've learned that when we will shift our attitude, God shifts his favor. You catch that on the way home. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, watch this, and not we ourselves. That's perspective, keeping the right perspective. And here it is, that we serve God, God doesn't serve us. as spiritual growth. Because when we first get saved, we always make it about us, and that's fine. I say this all the time. You might have had a tragedy. You might be going through a hard time right now, and so it's got you looking for God. Or maybe you're just, waking up and seeing what's happening around the world, on the world stage, and you see this is Ezekiel and Revelation and Daniel stuff happening everywhere you look. And many people are saying, man, this has got to be, is this in the Bible? What? And so many people are looking and their eyes are getting up. But I say, great, let that draw you to God. But then there's somewhere in that season where you got to quit, serving God just to get out of this situation, just to heal my marriage, just to heal my children, just to get me a better job. We got to move from that and say, God, I'm going to serve you because I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Even if you don't do anything else, God, I want to serve you with all of my heart. That shift has got to happen. Or if not, you're never going to see the blessing of God, or as soon as something good happens, because he will bless us if we seek him. You get a husband, you get a wife, you get a car, you get a job, you get that blessing. A lot of people, they're out. But I'm telling you, this is how to grow so you'll last. Yes. This is growing so you'll finish strong, keeping the right perspective. I love Stephen Furtick, what he said. He said, perspective will either become your prison or passport. Ooh, that'd preach for an hour right there. I love that. How you see God will determine how you live for God. How you see God will determine how you live for God. And I love this scripture because he says, he wants you to know we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. So he turns it and says, he is a loving father. He is a loving shepherd. If you don't remember anything out of this whole service today, I want you to know this. God loves you. He loves you. Oh, I've heard that before. Have you received that? Well, I've done this, Pastor Reddy. I've done this. Yeah, we've all done things. You've got to learn to receive that love that God has for you. This helps you grow. And if I let my thoughts and my past get a hold of me, I wouldn't be standing on this stage today. The enemy told me, what are you doing? When I was first in the youth ministry, why are you going to be in youth ministry? You was in and out of jail in teenage life. You now ripped everything up. How can God use you? And I love reading that scripture in Timothy where Paul said, I once was a violent man, but God has found me faithful and put me into the ministry because the things I did ignorantly, and now I willingly offer myself up to God. I said, come on, Paul, preach. That's my scripture. Because the blood of Jesus washes away all of our sins and lets us have a fresh start. Come on, give him praise for that. If you believe that, that alone ought to be worth some praise on this Thanksgiving. Come on, give him praise for that. If you believe that, thank you, Jesus. And then he ends, he starts ending. Look at here. Ooh, see, I told you I'd make it. Verse 4 and 5, he says, be thankful to him and bless his name. You want to bless his name? He said, this is how you do it. Be thankful. I love the Message Bible. Write this down. The Message Bible says it like this. Enter with the password, thank you. How do I get the favor of God? You got to get the password. You better put it in your iCloud lock, link, whatever you got, but you got to remember this password. You're going to get locked out. You keep trying, it will lock you out, and you will not get this out. You got to learn it today, the key word, the password, to get favor from God, to get the blessing of God, to bless God is to be thankful. What else? That's it. See, that's how we are. We're like, whoa, no, that's it. You got to train your heart into thanksgiving. You got to make yourself be, that's where worship comes in. You and I got to learn to be thankful to him. And then he tells us why to be thankful. He said, number one, for the Lord is good. Thank him for it. He's good. Come on, he is good. Thank him because he's good. Thank him because his mercy, then he goes on, his mercy endures. How many are thankful that the mercy of God is new every day? And his truth, come on, everybody has a truth. Oh, it's my truth, it's your truth. Listen, put y'all's truths together, put them to the side, and focus on his truth. Because listen, the Bible says his truth endures for every generation. His truth is good for your grandma. His truth is good for your great-grandma. His truth is good for you, and his truth will be good for your kids. His truth, Come on. His truth is good. His truth. Focus on everybody's got a truth today, but let me tell you about his truth. His truth is that he is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. Moses said, what do I call you? He said, you go tell Pharaoh, I am the I am. I am the God that was with Adam, from Adam, but now I'm the God that's with you today. I am truth. Come on, I am truth. I am truth. Come on, give me some praise today if you believe that. He is truth. Woo, this a preach. This a preach. Come on, give me some praise if you know the truth. Come on, if you know the truth. If you know the truth. Come on, how many truth people we got in this place? Come on, stand on your feet and give them about 20 seconds of praise. Come on, thank him for his truth. He said, I'll never leave you. That's his truth. He said, I'll never forsake you. That's his truth. He said, he'll trust you. He'll love you anyhow. That's his truth. If he said he will do it, he's going to do it. Come on, stay standing. Stay standing. If you know, listen, the Bible says this. The Lord just gave me this. He said, here it is. My truth will set you free. You might have heard it. Read it again. His truth will set you free. Some of you are already free. You're in a prison with the doors. Come on, worship team. Come on up here. You're in a prison cell, and you're praying to be delivered. I want you to know Jesus done unlocked that door a long time ago. You've been free. It's time for you to kick that thing open and walk out in that victory, because who he sets free is free indeed. Why you keep going back to that jail cell? Why you keep going back to that relationship? Why you keep going back to that substance? Why do you keep going back to that website? Why you keep going back to that thing when the Lord has set you free? He wants you to come out of that prison. Remember, he has set you free. And who the Lord has set free, he is free indeed. Never felt so much freedom. Never felt so much freedom. I used to think in order to have a good time, you had to have some substance. Listen, you don't got to get wasted to have a good time. Let me say it again for those that are on the live stream. They might not have heard it. Turn up. You don't got to be wasted to have a good time. You can taste and see that the Lord, he is good. For his mercy endures. His mercy is new every day, and his truth is everlasting. You can bank on that. You can turn to that. There ain't no high like the Most High. I'm telling you something today. There ain't no high like the Most High. It's that perspective. You got to get that perspective right. Well, I just see God as this mean God up there with a lightning bolt, or I don't know where God is because I went through that. I went through this. Listen, God is showing up like he did on the road to Emmaus. He's showing up through this service today, telling you he's walking with you. You're here, not by accident, but you're here on purpose. Take the next step. Let him open up that door. Walk out of that jail cell. Those hands will go up. Those hands are going. They've been wanting to go up for a long time. Those hands want to go up and worship the Lord. Begin to praise. And I don't feel like praising. I don't always either. You got to praise yourself. Sing yourself into the presence of the Lord. After a while, you begin to praise him. You start going, wait a minute, I feel something. I feel a little something in you, just like Paul and Silas does. I don't know who needs to hear this today. But you begin to sing and you begin to praise him, and the Holy Spirit begins to get stirred in your heart, saying, this is what you was made it for. This is how you overcome. This is how you make it through hell and high water. This is how you make it another day. This is how you make it through another holiday season. It's by worshiping him. You start growing. He starts stretching your capacity, and you start worshiping him. Gratitude. I had that last thing I wanted to tell you. Gratitude is the gateway to favor. That was the last thing I wanted you to know, but you can just remember that. Gratitude, worship, having that thanksgiving, because he's good. His mercy is everlasting, it endures, and his truth goes through every generation. Lord, we just worship you today. Come on, can we just end with worship? We started with worship. Can we end with worship today? Come on, this might be a little uncomfortable for you. You don't got to worship like me, but I guarantee you that if you would just by faith lift those hands, this just simply means surrender. That simply means surrender. God, I've been living life my way. I've been calling the shots. I've been doing things that I want to do, but today, on the 24th of November, this Thanksgiving service at this church out in Belleville, I've learned if I would just lift my voice, I can praise myself into your presence. Come on, worship the Lord today if he's worthy. Open your mouth and begin to just say, God, I love you, I praise you. I worship you today, Jesus. I give you praise. Come on, give him your problems. Give him your hang-ups today. Give him your fears. Give him your addictions. Give it to him today. He's a big God. He can take it. He can set you free today. Keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. We worship you today in the place, in your place, in your house, because you are worthy. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of it all. Come on. Can you sing that, Steve? You are worthy of it all. Tone, tell him he is worthy.
Of it all.
Come on, love on him just for a few more minutes. Tell him that. Tell him that.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things.
Everything I have.
To you are all things. Deserve the glory.
Oh, come on, lift your voice one more time. It sounds beautiful. Come on, lift that voice.
You're worthy yes. of it all.
Oh, yes, you are, Lord. Come on. There it is.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. The glory.
Come on, one more time, one more time. Yes.
You're worthy.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.